Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hi.
Scott Mills.
Yay, we're back on in the afternoon. It's all back to normal, folks. So, doing the morning show for a bit, and then Chris Moyles got stranded in New York, but he managed to wire himself up a studio and he's back on. As of this morning, the Chris Moyle Show back on Radio 1, only he's from New York. Impressive wiring, Chris, to get that sorted out. Really good. Loads of celebrities stuck all over the world at the moment, and some normal people too, having a terrible time. Really bad for some people. But if you are worried about the celebrity aspect, we are getting a charity record together to try and get them back home for the VABs, the volcanic ash victims. We're working on it and we'll bring it to you as soon as we can. But we have started work on this because I think it's a very worthwhile cause. Hi, Becky.
Yeah.
After 4:30 today, you can hear what happened when we met up with Kiefer Sutherland last week. He's probably still here as well. He's probably stranded in the UK, isn't he?
Well, he hasn't rung me yet, but...
No. So, Jack Bauer, Kiefer Sutherland, you'll hear what happened when we spoke to him just after 4:30 this afternoon. What an absolute dude he was. And what a voice. I want that voice. Seriously. It was the same day when he came in, the same day that he was in the paper being wrestled out of Stringfellows by some bouncers wearing no top. So
that's happened to the best of us,
hasn't it?
We've
all done that. Come on, we've all been thrown out of Stringfellows before, topless. So I'm not going to hold that against him. But do you remember, like, 2 minutes before he came in, there was a copy of The Sun open on that page.
I've been doing the research.
Hide the sun! Hide the sun now! And he literally just came in as we closed the paper and I just stuffed it down behind the desk. So, phew! So, Kiefer Sutherland, just after 4:30. Have you been wrestled out of Stringfellows before?
No, I've only been to Stringfellows once.
Right.
And that was when I went for Peter's Peter Stringfellow. I say Peter like I'm his friend, but I'm not his friend. Oh.
Peter invited me.
We'd never falling out, but we were never really that close.
Are you like an English version of Playboy Bunny?
No. I went for his 60th birthday party.
Have you been in a hot tub with him?
No, but I so wish I had been. That would be amazing.
You do?
Just to say I'd done it. The story would be so much better than going to Stringfellows is I've been in a hot tub with Peter Stringfellow, wouldn't it?
I don't share that.
Come on, if someone said to you, would you go and... You would, just
no,
to
I would
say
not.
You had.
No,
you
I
would.
No, I wouldn't.
You would.
I
anyone
wouldn't.
Would.
Wouldn't.
You would.
Wouldn't.
You'd be tweeting going, guess where I am? Twit pic, here I am, look.
Yeah.
Whole Facebook album devoted to it.
Got my arm around him.
Yeah. Here's us again on a different angle.
He's wearing a leopard skin thong.
How would you know that?
Because I saw him get in.
Under the wall, got your goggles out and had a quick look.
So go on, you've been
you
to his...
Do you wear goggles in a hot tub or is that just me?
Just you. So you've been to his birthday party, Stringfellow?
Yeah, I went to his 60th. And it's really good. But as we got to the door, the bouncers said to the guy that I was with, they were like, do the girls know it's table dancing? All right, I've got an invitation to Stringfellow 60th. What else
do I think
it is? Of
course there's table dancing. Radio 1 Podcast. Andy off of Leeds has been on saying, I feel most sorry for celebs like Chanel and Chantel off of Big Brother fame, who are probably due to fly off to, like, Tenerife this week to get papped by the sun in a bikini while coming out of the sea. And now they'll just be at home crying into their cereal in Essex or somewhere, just feeling a bit fed up. I know. See, they're still VABs, aren't they? That was Tiny Temper and Pass Out. Hello?
Hello, Kiefer's still in the UK.
Is he?
Yeah, he was at Stonehenge yesterday.
Okay, what's your name?
Martin.
Did you meet him, Martin?
I didn't know, but a friend of mine got his autograph from in a pub round the corner from Stonehenge.
So it was Kiefer Sutherland in a pub?
Funnily enough, yeah.
All right, and was this... did he have his top on?
I think so, yeah. It was a quiet pub, not Stringfellows.
Okay, just... Yeah, don't want an incident like last week. But, you know, we've all done it, as I said before. Okay, well, he must be quite bored by now, then. Not I'm saying that the UK's boring, but it sounds like he's going around all, like, the tourist attractions because he's, like, you know, got nothing else to do while he's waiting for his flight back to America.
Yeah, it would appear so. Stonehenge ain't the greatest, let's be honest.
Well, I quite like it, actually.
A bunch of stones, brilliant.
Yeah, actually, it's quite good. It may well be a bunch of stones to you, Martin.
I drive past it every day.
Well, that's because you're used to it. I drive past it, like, on the way to Glastonbury and go, wow, look, a bunch of stones.
Don't they look amazing?
Well, and apparently, I've just been told they're really old stones.
Well, yeah, this is what I've heard as well.
Which makes them better than just a load of stones. Because they're old. Okay, love you, bye.
Love you too, bye. Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1
Podcasts. Podcast. So it's all about volunteering this week. Westwood is being a local hero. I feel pretty good about myself today. Because I went to help him earlier. Did some volunteering.
No, you didn't, did you?
Yeah, I did.
No, because the emails came round. Can we still make sure Scott's all right with this? Has he said yes yet? Can you ask him again? Can you sort this out for him?
I got asked to do volunteering. I got made to do volunteering. And then I went and did it.
So you weren't volunteering at all? You were forced into a situation you couldn't get out of?
Okay, so I was forced to volunteer, but I still volunteered.
That's just as good.
It's good, though. I mean, there's some pictures online now of me and Westwood dredging the River Thames earlier.
As you do.
As you do. Found all sorts on the shore there, we did. Here's Westwood from earlier.
A battery, a Q-tip, something for cleaning your nose with, and bits of broken glass, and wood. I don't know, are we meant to collect wood? Nobody told me. Are we collecting wood?
I found a traffic cone, obviously abandoned by some students who thought it was a brilliant idea at the time, then got bored and chucked it in the river. And I also found a Buddha.
A what?
A Buddha.
What, in the Thames?
Just a tiny one.
Wow.
Yeah. Shopping trolleys in there, all sorts. We dragged them all out.
I have found an old school clay pipe, which, in my humble opinion, having been on Antiques Roadshow with Arthur Negus back in the day, I would say dates back to before the Great Fire of London, but just after the plague.
Yeah.
He's got no clue, has he?
No. Some good pictures. The video's going to be up in about 10, 15 minutes.
So is there actually an organisation that lets you go and pick up rubbish from the river?
The amazing thing is, I mean, if you go online to the website bbc.co.uk/radio1, you can see how easy it is to do really good stuff. You don't get paid, obviously, but you're doing good. And here's the thing, if you're trying to get a job anytime soon, it does look absolutely brilliant on your CV. And there's loads of places where you think, well, where would I apply for that? On the website, so you can have a look.
So is the Thames absolutely clean now?
When you see, like, pictures online of Antigua and, like, Barbados?
No. Oh, okay, yeah, holiday brochures.
You know, like, turquoise sea, tropical fishes, and you can see the fish in the water because it's that clear.
Oh, really nice white sand.
Yeah. That bit of the Thames in Woolwich in London now looks like that. It's like turquoise. The rest of it is just that crappy brown colour.
Wow. So you're going to go back tomorrow and do the rest of it?
No, Wes was doing another one tomorrow, which will be revealed in the Chris Moyle show tomorrow morning. So it's Westwood's local hero. The video will be up of... There's a brilliant bit where Westwood gets stuck in the mud and I have to come up from behind and pull him out. bbc.co.uk/radio1.
I think it did that on purpose.
It looks like some kind of hilarious comedy sketch where he gets stuck first.
Why
and goes, Scott,
just...
help me! What? Then I come along and I also get stuck.
Was it like sinking? Why didn't you just leave him there till he was up to his neck and then pull him out at the last minute just for a better video?
Only joking. Yeah, I should have done that.
That would have been brilliant.
I
just
rescued
take your
him
time.
Far too soon.
I know you did, yeah. You got loads more views off that one.
Anyway, if you want to do some real good in the community, go online, bbc.co.uk/radio1, and get involved with some volunteering. It's just gives you a nice warm feeling inside, or a slightly cold feeling inside my shoe.
Don't be put off by the photo of Westwood in the mask, and once you get to it, don't be put off at how excited you are of being behind Westwood trying to pull him out, because I've never seen anyone look so happy, Scott.
Yeah. It's all online, and the video's up there soon, isn't it? So keep checking back.
Did you find those sunglasses in the Thames, or did you take them with you?
How rude. A designer, actually.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
What have you done to your finger, Becky?
Oh, is it taking you 27 minutes to notice this massive, like...
noticed it when I looked then.
You know bandages on cartoons where it's, like, really big and white? It's like that. I had an incident with some mashed potato.
Is that bandage really necessary for the injury behind it?
Yes, because it says to put the gauze on it until the bleeding stops coming through. So that's about.
Did you mash your own finger?
Similar, yeah. It was more of a peeling incident.
All right. I haven't peeled a potato for ages.
No, neither had I up until last night, and I'm not doing it again. I'm going to buy pre-peeled ones from now on. Spend the extra 20p.
Get them pre-peeled.
Save me a finger. So, yeah, everyone's been noticing it, but
so it wasn't
it was
the actual...
Subtle.
Ow! It was... Ah! I just did a mashing your finger, like, reenactment and really hurt myself.
That's karma.
Ah! Oh. So you didn't mash your finger. I quite like that idea of you just like going, oh dear.
Why would I have my hand in the bowl of mashed potato? Actually, to be honest, I'm probably grabbing a handful to eat before I dished it up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's entirely possible that. Radio 1 podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Kiefer Sutherland came in last week. This is what happened.
Day of my life.
Kiefer Sutherland, hello.
Good morning.
Welcome to Radio 1.
Thanks for having me.
I've already decided I want a voice like yours.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
I can tell you how to get it.
How can I do that?
About a pack and a half of smokes a day and a couple of whiskeys.
Right. It's just right down there, isn't it? I like it a lot.
Good,
but
thank
no,
you.
It's not the same. It's not the same as you doing it, really. So you're in Britain. Are you stuck here forever now because of the volcanic cloud?
I don't know. I think we were waiting just like everybody else to see. I think I can't see why they don't go around it. To be honest with you,
you'd think in this day,
make a left.
Apparently, the ash clogs up the engines and stuff.
Well, that's why you make the left.
Well, yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah,
maybe you'll never be able to leave.
I would be fine with that.
Would you?
Yeah. I was actually born here. On the trip that I came and saw you guys last, they were making a documentary, and I took one of the filmmakers to Paddington, where I was born, in St. Mary's Hospital. And literally, as we came out of the tube, and we walked, and I found the sign, and it pointed towards the hospital, and I looked up, and I said, that's where I was born. And at that moment, a wrecking ball came and took out the whole wall, and they were moving the hospital across the street, and the timing was just unbelievable.
Oh my God. And yeah, that's where I was born.
Yeah, it was absolutely just like that. But no, I've always loved it here.
Did you say you got the tube?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite surprising.
Yeah.
Not even Scott gets the tube.
Yeah, I do get the tube. What happens to you when you go on the tube?
Well, I get lost.
Right, yeah, obviously.
But after that, you know, nothing. People come up and say hello, and I think they're pretty surprised I'm on it as well. But yeah, it's
a very quick way to get around, Kiefer.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Having driven here today in the traffic, we should have taken the tube.
Should have. We're also impressed by your selection of middle names, Kiefer.
Thank you.
That is impressive.
My father had a lot of debt. I think literally he, just around London, was just saying, I can't pay you for this, but I'll name my first son after you. And so my name is Kiefer William Frederick Dempsey George Rufus Sutherland. And no one has been able to figure out who the Rufus is.
Right.
But
it's just Rufus. No one idea.
Yeah, no.
So now we're on day 8 of 24.
Yeah.
Last one.
Yes, it is.
That must be so weird, because you've been doing it for a long time now.
It's really bizarre. Howard Gordon, who is our head writer, he and I had both really wanted to make these films. And the only way we're going to do the films is if we stop doing the series. And at the beginning of every season when we start shooting, he's already working on the idea for the next year. And this year he felt he didn't really have it. And so this season 8, he felt really proud about. And
did you ring him up and go, well, get it?
We'll get it. We've done that before. But no, it's an unbelievable task. They're writing the equivalent of 12 films a year.
That is incredible. If you think about it.
And that's unbelievably prolific, and so you have to trust him when he says, no, I think we need to move into the films. We decided to do that. And so as much as we felt very strongly about the choice to end on what we believe is at least a high note, which is season 8, we weren't prepared to let go of the 125 people that we work with 14 hours a day, 5 days a week. And so that very last moment when we wrapped, it was really, really sad for us.
Yeah. What's going through your mind when you're filming like the very last bit of something that's you've been part of your life for so long? What's going through your head as you say the last line?
Almost the opposite of everything that we've been doing before. Everything we've been doing before is, are we finished? Can we move on? Can we get on to the next scene? This last final scene had more coverage than any single. I think we could use one more shot, you know, anything to kind of stop it from ending. And then it was just done.
Oh, and are you going to tell us what the last line was?
Well, we didn't shoot in order. The last bit, though, in that sequence, we were actually very fortunate. We shot the ending of the last episode first.
They do it a funny way around, don't they?
Yeah, and so we knew what to kind of aim towards.
Can I have a guess what the last line might be?
Sure.
Is it, oh no, I'm dying?
No, it's not.
Is it
hooray, I'm alive?
No, it's not.
Is it, I might be back?
No, but that would have been a clever one, wouldn't it? Just a little insurance.
Yeah, just in case. Are people, like, because of the role in 24, are people scared of you now? Because because Jack Bauer could probably kill me with his bare hands.
Yes, no, I cannot.
Could you not do that?
Clearly no.
Could you kill a cow?
Could I kill a cow? Depends how I was armed.
Becky's got a real thing about this, haven't you, Becky?
But with my bare hands, no.
No, to say that I said I could kill a cow is taking it out of context. Basically, I said I'm a vegetarian for animals that I don't think I could
kill
myself.
With a bare hand.
I couldn't eat chicken or turkey or pig.
She didn't think she could catch it.
But I do eat beef because I think I could kill a cow.
You mean emotionally you could kill a cow?
With a pig.
And you could kill a cow before a chicken?
Yeah, because I can't do the feathers and all that sort of...
Oh, so you just don't want to prepare it, but chickens are really
dumb
animals.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to. You have to get really up close, don't you? A cow, I could probably take it out.
You killed
a
chicken, Kiefer?
I have not, no.
You haven't.
But
you killed anything?
Have I killed anything? I shot a bird with a slingshot when I was a kid, and it took off and flew away. But when I went to go see the feathers and stuff that were on the ground, there was some blood there, and I kind of fell apart. So I was not the... not the animal killer that I was hoping to be at seven.
With pig things, she could do that as long as it doesn't stare you out. The pig has to wear sunglasses, then she could kill it.
Have you ever heard the James Taylor song? There's a song he wrote called Mona, and he had a pig for like 14 years, and he wrote a song about her, and Mona would eat anything. She, in fact, ate the taillights off his Porsche once. And she got so big and kind of cumbersome and kind of aggressive that he had to finally kill her, and I think the chorus line is "Mona, Mona, I've got a big surprise," and it's actually a brilliant song. But I think he had the same difficulty. As long as Mona didn't look at him, he could kill her.
Same. Get the sunglasses on.
This is so not what I thought this interview was going to be. This
I know.
Is
I like.
Great.
Sorry. It's
better than We should ask you some different questions. Back to 24. I've had whole 24 lock-ins in my flat before, especially in the winter. One of my mates is just there, actually, Chris, at uni, started it at midnight once and did it a whole in real time, the whole thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it's about 42 minutes, isn't it?
I think you should get a prize for that.
Yeah, about 42 minutes, and then the rest of the time can be spent, just going for a wee, eating food, stuff like that, and then you can get back to it again when it strikes one.
I've had funny experiences where people have accused me of ruining their vacation or their honeymoon because they'll get the full DVD set, and it's perfect for... a flight, for instance, from Los Angeles to London.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
It's you blow 12 hours off, watch the rest coming back. And this one couple, and they were cross with me. And they said, no, we ended up watching the first eight on the flight over and then spent the next day in the hotel room watching the bloody show. Tried to explain to them that wasn't my fault.
Yeah, but it's not your fault. Tell us, there's going to be a film of 24, right?
Yeah. One of the great things for us about it, and certainly for Howard Gordon and for the other gentleman writing it, Billy Ray, is that it will be a two-hour representation of a 24-hour day. So all of a sudden, we're not restricted to the real-time aspect of what was the television show. And the show we've had, The Crisis, has always had to come to us. And so in the context of the film, we get to go search for it. Yeah, so we get to travel a bit.
And when can we see that?
They're just finishing up the screenplay now, and hopefully we'll be in production within the year.
Amazing. Kiefer Sutherland, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks, Kiefer. I know it was strange, but it was fun.
Not at all. It was a blast.
Thank you. What an absolute dude he is. I don't think, listening back, I was that obsessed with him killing things.
Yes, you were. You were. Listen.
Jack Bauer could probably kill me with his bare hands.
Yes, no, I cannot.
Could you not do that?
See? One.
One. Could you kill a cow?
Could I kill a cow?
Two.
Okay, two, yeah. You killed a chicken, Kiefer.
Three.
Okay, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But
you killed anything.
This is so not what I thought this interview was going to be.
I know,
I
like
it.
Sorry.
Some man from Radio 4 came in just after we'd done this interview.
Oh, yeah, my friend Jack.
Jack. Didn't ask him about killing anything.
Did he not?
No. That song about the man killing his pig, Jack Bauer's favourite song, we found it.
I can't believe it actually exists.
Yeah. So we'll play that for you in a minute. Jack Bauer's favourite song of all time about a man and his pet pig is coming up.
Who he kills. What a lovely song.
Hello to everyone texting in, saying that their subwoofer is broken because of his voice. Someone else says, his voice is sex. And someone says, can you stop playing his voice? It's vibrating my bum. There's a lot of people's... It is vibrating in a lot of people's bums on the text. That was Jack Bauer.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Joshua Aiden. Lots of people getting confused. I never knew this song was about a pig, says Lee off Bristol. His voice is just oof, says Cherie in Warminster. I never knew that Joshua and Raiden track was about a pig. It's not that one. However, the real one that he was talking about is very similar.
And it's not the Mona song by an old star of Neighbours off the 80s either. It's not that Mona.
Nah. So here it is. It's Jack Bauer's favourite song, and it's about a man and his pig. This is not what you expect Jack Bauer to be listening to in that car on 24.
Life's good friends are hard to find. Now one of mine is dead.
Quite cheerful.
Oh, Mona, Mona. So much of you to love, a bit too much you take care of.
Oh, Mona, there's so much of you to love, but too much of you to take care of. Oh, that's nice. Sorry, you got too big to keep and you're too damn old to eat.
When you were just a football at your mama's side, reckon everyone figured you for a barbecue when you died.
I reckon everyone figured you for a barbecue when you died.
Do you know what I'm thinking? It's... Up until now, we'd have never known this song was about a pig. And if you thought he was singing a romantic love song to his girlfriend, it's like, you've got too big to keep, you're too big to eat.
Too damn old to eat.
I was going to shove you on the barbecue, but I thought better of it. You think, what on earth is going on in his head?
Here's the last bit of the song. This is the best bit.
Mona, Mona, you can close your eyes. I got a 12-gauge surprise.
12-gauge surprise waiting for you, Mona. And then the pig's off. Bye-bye. That's Jack Bauer's favourite song of all time.
Oh, the poor pig.
When he's in his car in 24. Don't! 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 That's what he's listening to. You wouldn't think that, would you?
No.
An easy listening favourite there. Also, a lot of people are saying we should start our own kind of unofficial Jack Bauer sat-nav, Kiefer Sutherland sat-nav, just from the bit of the interview where he goes...
Make a left. Make a left.
Go out and buy that immediately.
Would you?
Yeah.
We can make some money on this, Becky.
Make a left.
But just people just going around in circles.
I was
going
to say...
Well, that's why you make the left. Make a left.
That's all we've got, though. Maybe we've got him somewhere in the interview going, right... Which word? So all we've got is ride and make a left.
Make a left.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Westwood.
Thank you, sir. You are too kind to me.
You right?
Yes, too kind.
What a morning that was.
Oh, and an afternoon for me, baby. I haven't recovered yet.
Yeah. Today, Westwood, local hero, was on the banks of the River Thames in London doing some volunteering for free, that is.
Local hero work, and obviously I had to bring my good friend Scott Mills to help me out of the mud.
Yeah.
Because we were deep in the pan.
We were.
Oh, it was a mess out there. It was horrible.
We were, what was it? Doing something with Father Someone's Bottom.
Yes. I mean, what happened, and let's put it out there early in the game. I got stuck in the mud quite badly. When I say badly, it was like it had gone over my wellies and it was creeping up to my knees. And I was also aware that the Thames River was coming in at quite a rate.
Is this still why you were volunteering?
No, this is why I was meant to be tidying up, but I was posing for a picture and then I started to sink. And as I started to sink and sink fast, I could feel the tide coming in faster. And I thought I was going to drown. So I actually screamed for Scott to come and help me. So, Scott, describe how you positioned yourself behind me to lift me out of my predicament.
This is all in the video.
Yes.
Yeah, the video's online now. I just thought I went for the ankles.
Yes,
and that didn't work.
No.
So then I just went lower and I just literally hoiked your welly out of the mud.
Incredible. Saved my life. But then Gemma, who wanted to get involved, suddenly got stuck. No, you got stuck.
What
and then Gemma saved you.
What are you pulling Westwards? What, out of the mud?
His welly.
My welly, which was coordinated with my outfit I was wearing at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, what happened? Gemma then got stuck in the mud.
From One Extra.
From One Extra, in case you haven't heard of her. And then what happened is that I went... behind Gemma to push her out of the mud. Yeah. But I have never actually pushed a woman from behind in before in my life. And I didn't understand what you meant. No, it's very true, actually. I've never done that before. And I didn't realise you when you push a woman, you're meant to kind of push inwards and outwards. Mm. And for some reason, as I was panicking about the River Thames coming up,
Tide was behind us, the mud was getting deeper.
And you could hear the water coming up, and she was sinking more. And for some reason, I had one hand on either cheek of her bottom, and I was just pushing, but I was pushing them apart to get her out. And as I was pushing her, her bum got wider and wider, yeah. And my arms got more apart, and the look on her face.
You can see it on this video now.
Yes, but you should look at the look on my face.
She won't forget that. Oh, my God. There it is.
Yes.
2 minutes 25 in. It's a
horrible experience for me.
So you'll find out tomorrow what you're doing, a bit of volunteering with Chris on the morning show.
Yes.
And you can see the video of us now at the Thames, me, Westwood and Gemma from One Extra.
How exhausting was it?
Oh, my God. Like, seriously, there are people down there that just do this pretty much every day of the week. And fair play to them, because it's
incredible. How many shopping trolleys did you and me personally pull out from the riverbanks?
Two or three.
Exactly. How many traffic cones did you and me personally lift up when they were full of mud? They were very heavy.
Three.
And how many Q-tips did I find on that riverbank?
Cotton bud for UK listeners.
Cotton bud, sorry.
More. Like 30 or so.
30. I was picking every single one up. How many broken bottles did I find?
This is boring now.
About
10.
I always did my bit today, so it'll be like that.
So we're just
boring.
Helping out. Helping out a charity.
Right.
I'm talking. We're helping out a charity.
Well, it mattered to me.
Every day this week. Westwood's our local hero.
Make me feel good.
BBC.co.uk/Radio 1. Go and look at the video. Find out what he's doing tomorrow.
Just because you were
looking
around.
Just in case you were confused, today Scott and Westwood were pulling rubbish out of the River Thames and nothing else.
Yes, but I was really telling the list of things I pulled out and he didn't care. He said it was boring.
I cared until you got to the bottles and then I lost interest.
Sorry.
Right, good. Well, we'll see you tomorrow at in the Moyle Show and see what's going on.
Oh, yeah, and I've got something to do now.
What's that?
Oh, you're so mean to me. Stop being mean.
Oh, your show on BBC Radio 1 Extra.
Exactly.
Extra hip-hop, extra R&B.
And extra Westwood.
That's it.
With sauce on the side.
Till 7 o'clock.
Yes, stick a fork in it. It's done.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
What's occurring?
Back on at the regular time for when you go home, it's Oh, What's Occurring? For a Tuesday. Nina's back on, hiya love.
Hey, you okay?
Yeah, you alright?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good to speak to you again.
You too.
So when are you going off to Egypt? Because you might be a Vav and be trapped by the ash cloud.
Oh, I know, I'm gutted. 2 weeks we're meant to go. Me and my boyfriend Matt, 2 weeks on Friday. But we've had a phone call from Thompson, and they said to have a look at alternative options.
Oh, what, 2 weeks away?
2 weeks, yeah.
Wow. God, you are a Vav.
I'm absolutely gutted if we can't go.
Go camping instead.
No, thanks. Not my style.
Camping's brilliant.
I love camping.
Oh, no. Give me a hotel any day.
You're a bit too high maintenance for camping.
No, I'm not high maintenance. No, I'm not. I wouldn't say I am, but I just prefer to have a nice hotel than mud.
There's a really weird noise.
Are you trying to sort out this noise?
I think it's at your end.
My end?
Are you sat next to a fridge or something?
No, I'm not, no.
Okay. It's like you were being invaded by a load of bees.
Is it better? I've moved rooms now.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Where are you?
I'm in my office. I'm at work.
Okay. It might be a few electrical sources just interfering with your phone line.
Well, I'm actually sat in the meeting room, so there's nothing in there apart from tables and chairs.
Do you know what? I might ring you back. I might ring her back.
It's going to get annoying.
Do you want me to give you a landline?
Not on the air.
No, not now.
No,
but,
not on the radio.
Just stay on the phone. I'll ring you back in a minute.
Right, OK, we'll call you back in a minute because it's weird.
All right, then, bye.
OK, bye. Hang up. Right, I'm going to play...
We haven't got the landline. That's why I told you to stay there.
Oh, yes,
phone.
Sorry. Oh, it's fine. We'll call it back.
BBC Radio 1 Podcast.
Oh, what's occurring?
Nina.
Hi, take two.
Take you two. I got you on a landline. It's all good. Right, brilliant. Let's play Tuesday's Oh, What's Occurring. First one. You know Paddy McGuinness?
Yeah.
Now, as we found out last week, he's not as good as we thought he would be about waffling on about things.
How good did you think he was going
to
be?
Well, we presumed, because he's from Bolton, that he would just be able to talk and talk and talk. You know, like Sarah Cox can talk.
Yeah, sorry. I was just laughing. I remembered one of his, you know, he does all those, like, let the such and such see the such and such. I just remembered to myself, let the sergeant see the privates, and it made me laugh.
Offer to take me out.
That's quite good, if you just suddenly remember them in your head. And then
let the sergeant see the privates. Now, he's not that good about talking about random stuff. He got quite unstuck when trying to talk about Piers Morgan, as you would have heard.
Quite a good job.
On the show last week. Not as good as I was expecting. Now, we told Paddy McGuinness to talk about Lady Gaga for a minute.
Oh.
And he was hesitating again, all over the shop. My question to both of you, how many times, when talking about Lady Gaga, did Paddy McGuinness go, Nina?
I'd say about 15 times.
15 ums?
15 ums.
Becky?
22.
Let's find out. Here's Paddy McGuinness talking about Lady Gaga.
Go on.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
What?
I was at the Brits. I saw what passed me with them very, very unflattering bottoms type knickers slash whatever they were she had on. And she walked past me. It wasn't me. It wasn't the best. But great performer.
Six.
Very talented.
Seven.
Mad as toast. I like that one she did. That. Whatever it's called. That's a belting song. I think it's called Speechless. Which
eight.
I really am myself at this moment. So how many seconds have we got left? Please keep going. Oh, God, I can't do any more. I'm Lady Gaga. Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, please. Don't applaud. You're not doing. Right. Okay.
There's only eight. Only eight ums there, which isn't too bad, actually.
Quite well.
So Nina gets the point. Whoop.
Yay.
And whoop again.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Nina, you know N-dubs?
Yep, not personally.
They came in last Friday on this show when we were doing Moyles' show. And what I like about them is they're so excitable, aren't they? They're so pleased to see everyone all the time.
Yeah, they are.
Unlike Paddy McGuinness, they just talk and talk and talk.
Mostly promoting themselves and their new book.
Yeah. They're not shy. And when they do talk, it's mostly all at the same time.
Yes, Dappy was getting really annoyed, wasn't he? Mm.
So my question to both of you, in total, in our interview on Friday with N-dubs, how long were they talking all over each other for so you couldn't actually understand what they were saying? They're all talking at the same time. How long in total?
The interview was about 25 minutes, so probably 23 and a half minutes.
23 and a half minutes of N-dubs talking all over each other, you can't understand what they're saying. Nina, what do you think?
17 minutes.
Okay, let's find out. Here's N-dubs, what they do quite a lot, talk all over each other.
Yeah. Reasons. Then.
In and out.
Yeah, but
When you press the button on Dappy, it's
like,
the hat will go like, nah, nah, nah.
Tilly's goes, ha ha.
It's like he's bashing away on a keyboard or something.
Dong, 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 dong.
You know what I might do, you know?
You could do boxes.
I might do some. Yeah, for the modelling shoes.
So
what? I just want to watch the models.
I'm going to. I'm sure there's no way.
You know, like that.
No, it's like, I want to
like that.
I want to talk to
Dappy.
I want to talk.
Just talk one at a time. Did you understand any of that?
No, something about Talisa going, ah, ah.
And it continues.
Just know that it probably might not get cut.
Phase up.
What's it, bruv? Oh, to have a book just for
what do you think?
Listen,
Talisa's speaking.
Wait, right.
Say the same thing.
Yeah, all right, cool.
It's giving me a head fizz.
And still going.
Raging.
This is Tilisa.
I was angry.
This is Tilisa.
3:30 and I said...
Why did on the school?
Fainting and all sorts.
But one thing I did think of...
Towards
yeah.
I think we are... dance.
Nah, that's just general discussion.
I just want to... Can I say one thing? Can I say one thing? Guys, listen.
Listen, guys. Listen. In total, 1:19 of talking all over each other. Nina, you were closest with 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Well done.
Oh! What's occurring?
Didn't understand any of that. And now, a new game we're calling the Pardon Game. We went out to Stupid Street and we asked them some normal, everyday questions, but then pretended we couldn't hear them and said, pardon? So if you say something to me now, Becky...
How old are you?
Pardon?
How old are you?
Pardon?
How old are you?
Sorry, can you repeat that again, pardon?
Oh.
See? Annoying, isn't it?
Do you know what? I once accidentally bought a newspaper because I was too embarrassed to say pardon more than twice. Because basically I walked into the corner shop and the guy behind the counter said something to me. I think he was asking me... I thought he was asking me, do you want a carrier bag? And he said, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, I'm sorry, pardon? And he was like, da-da-da-da-da. And he was like, really quiet. I was like, pardon? And then the third time I thought, I can't hear you again. Because I'm just... So I said, yeah, okay. And ended up with a copy of this magazine, which I didn't really want.
Okay, good.
What's wrong with that anecdote?
No, nothing at all, no.
Have you got a time when that happened to you? No, see?
Can't think of it. Pardon?
I've done it. Oh, so...
Right, so what's the most times on Stupid Street we can get them to repeat themselves out of three people? What do you think, Nina?
Four.
So, four times, you think?
Yeah.
That's the most times we can get somebody to say pardon?
Three, I think, before it becomes awkward.
I think four.
Nina says four, Becky says three. Let's find out. So here's the first person we spoke to. How many times before they just get bored of pardon?
What do you like most about Wednesday?
About Wednesday? Getting off sixth form early, I think.
Sorry, say again.
Getting off college early.
One.
Sorry, you just do that one more time.
Getting off college early.
Two.
Pardon, sorry, I didn't hear that. Just go again.
Getting off college early on Wednesdays.
Three.
Yes, sorry, I do. One more time.
Getting off college early.
Four.
Yes, I'm still not quite.
I think I'm going to give up right there.
Oh, four and he gave up. Oh, Becky, you've lost it already. Okay, next one.
Diana Vickers is bringing out a range of knickers. Do you think you'd buy them?
It depends if they look nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, say that again.
One. I said it depends if they look nice, but yeah, why not?
One.
Yeah. Pardon?
Depends if they look nice.
Two.
No, sorry, I didn't get it. Just one more time.
Depends if they look nice, but yeah, why not?
Three.
Sorry, I didn't hear that again, so can you just go one more
time? Yes.
Four.
Pardon?
Yes.
Yes.
Five.
No, I didn't hear what you were saying. So just one more time.
Can I go home?
Five.
First, can I go home?
Five. I think you've gotten this in the bag today, Nina, isn't it?
Yep.
One more on the pardon game. How many before they walk off will get bored?
What's your favourite thing about Wednesday?
Well, in Sweden they call Wednesday Little Saturday, so we always used to go out on Wednesdays.
Pardon?
Never mind. It's not that important.
Oh. I was expecting at least one, maybe.
Bless. I thought you said they were normal, everyday questions.
Well,
what do you like best
would...
about Wednesdays and the one about Diana Vickers knickers? I've never been asked before in my life.
What's your favourite thing about Wednesday?
I think that's a perfectly fine question.
What? Diana Vickers is bringing out a range of knickers. Do you think you'd buy them?
What's wrong with that?
That's not an ordinary question.
Oh, no. Nina, we've got to go. You've won out what's occurring and the bees are invading you again.
Are they?
Yeah, weird.
Oh,
okay.
Right. Well, see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Oh. What's occurring?
Oh, Becky's found a new favourite Parry Grip song.
Oh, they're amazing.
If you haven't heard this, it's a man on YouTube who just sings what he sees. So basically, he just sings along to really popular videos like cats flushing toilets and stuff.
Chimps riding segways.
Yeah, and there's a new one.
Yeah, there is. This one features my favourite, Justin Bieber.
Okay, and so he watches a video or something and then sings about it.
Yeah, so basically Bieber was on Chatty Man with Alan Carr and he ate some British snacks.
Have you had a twig, Leigh?
I haven't.
Oh, my God, they're delicious, haven't
they? They're good?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So that's Alan Carr introducing Justin Bieber to the wonder of Twiglets.
Have you had a Twiglet?
I haven't.
He has now. So Parry Grip saw the video and thought, yep, I'm going to do a song about it. Bieber eating a Twiglet. Bieber eating a Twiglet. Bieber eating a Twiglet. On a talk show eating a Twiglet. Bieber eating a Twiglet. Oh, I like this one. Bieber eating a Twiglet. Bieber eating a Twiglet. On a talk show eating a Twiglet. Pretty good, just sings what he sees.
Yeah.
Is that on our blog?
No, but I can put it up there.
Yes, please.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Earlier, we were playing out our interview with Kiefer Sutherland, Jack Bauer, who we met last week, and somebody mentioned that because he said this during the interview...
Make a left.
We should try and do our own unofficial Jack Bauer, Kiefer Sutherland... Satnav.
Make a left.
Now, the one that doesn't speak has trawled through the entire interview to try and find a few more phrases that we could use, and maybe we can market this. So imagine, he starts off quite polite. There you are, you're getting in your car, putting your seatbelt on, turn on the satnav.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Kiefer.
It's Kiefer.
Excellent. Well, good. Let's go on a trip then, shall we?
Make a left.
Okay, I'll go left.
Go around it.
All right, so I've made a left. Now I'll go around it.
Make a left.
Okay, good.
Go around it.
Now, we don't really have any rights or straight ons or do a U-turn when possible. So all you're doing really is turning left and going around things.
You don't even have a stop, which is slightly worrying.
I've got this.
Faster. Get lost.
We need someone... If only you'd said right during the interview once, we'd be fine.
Faster.
If you want it to sound a bit more like Jack Bauer and not Kiefer, though, I've got something that'll do that.
Make a left.
Now!
Four.
Go around it.
Now! Faster. Now!
We must be able to get a right, even if you edit, like sometimes you can edit in the middle of words, so maybe we could take like a right. He must have said I at some point. It might sound a little bit odd, but I'm sure it will work.
Make a left.
Now. Faster. Now.
Go around it.
Now.
Mm-hmm. The one that doesn't speak is like, oh, God, Becky, why'd you suggest that? I've got to listen to the whole thing again.
Yeah. So you can make it more forceful, make it more Jack Bauer-like.
Get lost.
Now.
That was the whole point of having a sat-nav, is that you could go for miles and not get lost.
Yeah. And when you're really lost, because he's never told you to go right... This comes on. Which would cheer you up if you were lost.
Oh, yeah.
And then he says...
We should have taken the two.
Yeah. I think we've got most things we need. Really do. Now, I don't know whether anyone has seen this on the news, but this is my actual worst nightmare. It's this poor lady from Plymouth who... How do they talk in Plymouth?
Just generic West Country.
All right, so this woman in Plymouth...
That's more Bristolian, but...
Okay, well, she used to talk like that.
Yeah.
And now she has got something called foreign accent syndrome. So now the lady that used to talk like that from Plymouth has a Chinese accent. This is absolutely true.
How does that work?
Well, she used to talk like that. And now, here's a clip... She talks like this.
I don't know when I will get my normal voice back, if it will ever come back. Some people have it for a few years, some people forever. Nobody knows.
Now, you know what I'm like. I'm a proper hypochondriac, aren't I?
Oh.
If someone gets something, I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be next. And I'm now convinced that I will get this. Because she's from Plymouth, but she's gone Chinese. And there actually have been a few cases of this over the years. This is a real problem that happens to people. And if I hear about things like this, I'm totally convinced 100% that I will get this.
But there's only been a few. It's not like a cold or...
But I'm a proper hypochondriac. And with my job, nobody's going to believe it's me anymore. Because, for instance, this lady was calling people up and... They thought that she was doing prank calls.
On the day that my voice changed, I found it difficult to speak. And when I did speak, it sounded Chinese. That lasted for about a week. And then I woke up again the next day. It sounded more Eastern European.
So she's gone Chinese to Eastern European now.
Wow.
Yeah. How awful is that? I've just been looking this up, obviously, because...
The first thing you do,
if you're a hypochondriac, the first thing you do is look it up. And then it kind of makes it worse.
I've heard a bit about people who, in their sleep, talk in foreign languages and, like, with accents, but I've never heard it when you have had a headache and then you get one.
Yeah. There have been 60 cases of this. I'm always first on the medical dictionaries online.
That's really small.
I know, but it is really serious. During the war, a Norwegian woman developed a German accent and everyone thought she was a spy. 4 years ago, only 4 years ago, a Geordie woman turned Jamaican. It's a real problem. And you know what I'm like. I will go to bed tonight thinking, because of my hypo, that this is going to happen to me. When I wake up, I'll be French or something.
I quite like that, though.
Oh, no. And nobody on the air tomorrow, when I go, oh, good afternoon. That's not... how does French go?
Well, you don't need to worry about it, because you'll just have it.
Bonjour. When I come on air at 4 o'clock, no one's going to believe that it's me. Because I've woken up being French. Actually, I would quite like to wake up being French, I think.
Yeah, there was a woman who had a headache and then woke up with a French accent. So that might happen to you.
I'd really like to wake up with a Spanish accent. That'd be lush.
I think you're more likely to turn into a camp German.
Is that the one that you would like me to have?
Yeah, I think it would be funny.
Ah, hello! Do your camp German voice.
I don't really know. I can do that.
Chappers was always good at camp German, wasn't he? Miss him.
I never thought the time we'd miss him was about 5 months after we'd left, just because we needed a camp German.
Finally, we need someone with a camp German accent, and he's not here.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.